everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable, the podcast where we provide.
What was funny?
Take two. I'm just thinking of big boobs. Okay.
There's no context if they're listening. Oh my gosh, this is PG-13 officially.
I guess there is no context. Okay, sorry. Let's start over.
No, we're keeping that.
We're not even 2 minutes in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable, the podcast.
Doug, what are you doing?
Okay. Well, we have some fun along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice. And if you have any feedback to offer to improve the Veterinary Roundtable, let us know. Context to big boobs. We were all straightening out our shirts, our scrub tops, before he said action, and we're joking that our huge boobs
get in the way of our scrub tops.
But that's funny because none of us have big
a little
boobs.
Ironic.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I think we're all just very slap happy too.
None of us have food in our bellies.
Okay.
Our
so listen, all those people out there, thank you.
Yeah, apparently.
Because we got lots more reviews.
Yeah, thanks.
I mean, like 2 or 3 a week.
Yeah.
We're over halfway on Apple.
I think we were 53 last week. He said we got a few more.
Okay.
Okay.
So maybe he didn't update that.
Yeah.
Maybe we got more on Spotify.
Yeah.
And not on Apple Podcast. We're less over halfway there.
To your
stunt.
Yeah.
My stunt.
Less over half.
I didn't mean to say less. Over halfway there.
Over halfway. Okay, I like it.
I can't speak.
I think this has been in the works for like 4 months, and we've probably gotten like 10 reviews.
No, it's actually working. We're getting more reviews.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cue the review.
Cue the review. Hit
47
it.
More.
Hit it.
Hit it.
One new review is next on our agenda. It says, ha 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 ha.
It's actually,
I love
ha,
it.
Ha ha
ha ha ha. I feel like I've listened to enough episodes now to leave a review. Y'all are awesome. I have never reviewed a podcast yet, so feel honored.
Ooh, okay. I am honored. I am very honored. Okay, this is really cool.
Technician here at a small and large animal clinic in very rural Missouri. I'm glad you guys are even carrying the CPMA. We have a lot of cost concerned people in my area, so most of our parvo pets are too far gone to where supportive care doesn't even touch them. It's so expensive that our owner won't even buy it because of the likelihood of it not being purchased. Frown face.
Aww.
I'm about to switch clinics and go to
veg. Yeah.
So I'm excited for the change of pace and experience and being utilized more. But y'all are awesome. I love listening to your cases. We've been getting a lot of unique cases too. I blame the stars. Love the new scrub.
Thank you.
Beep boop.
Oh,
boo. Beep boop. Boo.
I love her name.
I love it.
Oh my gosh, it's so cute.
You know what? Just Monday, all the animals were acting weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's the solar eclipse
personal
coming.
Pets.
Yes.
Patients. They all, I think, know it's happening and they're getting prepared for the eclipse.
I think so. They're just rearranging.
Because Mercury is not in retrograde,
it's
as
the
far
eclipse.
As I know.
It has to be the eclipse. Like,
I'm sure there's
Monday's
some like
be...
scientific thing going
okay,
on.
Okay, so nobody
animals
knows.
Know
actually,
things.
This is really important because we... Why are you laughing?
I don't know. You got really excited.
Because
I don't
know. We are like in the path of the complete eclipse.
Yeah,
the other people listening are not in the path. You guys, I'm not going to be in town next week. So you guys have to take pictures.
You're not here on Monday?
No. Of yourselves with the solar eclipse so we can show people.
Okay. We'll get a group picture.
It like literally. On the podcast.
Hamilton County is
the
it. Last place.
It's like ground zero.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to happen? It's going to rain because it's Indiana. Yeah.
You can only see it from here?
Well, not only see,
like,
but
totality.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best
like,
place.
You see the total solar eclipse, and
that's why everything
is
shutting down, and all these people are traveling. Here.
Yeah,
wow.
Like
schools
hospitals aren't doing elective procedures. Yes. Schools are closed. Like it's bananas.
It's a big
it's crazy.
Deal.
It really is.
Because look at Hamilton County.
It's the only one in like our lifetimes that we're gonna see.
Yeah,
wasn't there one a few years ago?
It wasn't total.
But it wasn't
though.
A total.
See, I don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty
it's
crazy.
Be insane.
I'm excited.
So you guys need to get video.
Keep
next
your
week.
Outdoor don't, animals yeah. inside so they don't go blind.
Don't let your dogs outside during this time. If you have outdoor cats, bring them inside.
Lock them up.
Or get them goggles. Hide your kids, hide your wives.
Hide your kids, hide your wives. Hide your cats.
I will hide my cats.
Because yeah, okay. that's a good point to think about.
Your pets will go blind.
Anyway,
I felt like we were going somewhere.
I think God naturally protects them. They don't look up there.
Yeah, I don't really find them looking.
Do you
at
ever
the sky?
See a dog or cat looking up at the sun?
Me. My dog is like
you do.
I can see something really dark about my dog.
I don't think I've ever seen an animal stare up at the sun.
My cats look at the birds up in the sky.
Yeah, but like, they're not genuinely staring at the sun.
No, Miles doesn't look at the sun, but like the other day I let him outside and I looked out on the patio and he was just like he was literally just standing there. I don't know.
Enjoying the weather.
There was no birds. He was just standing looking.
But he's also really weird. So
yeah.
Maybe airplanes. Do they hear them and then look up?
And balloons and stuff. I don't deny that they look up in the sky. I just don't think they're going to. I think
it's better to be safe than sorry.
I think they're naturally protected to not do that.
Are all flights canceled? Are there planes flying that day?
I mean, I'm sure there are some. Could you imagine grounding all flight?
Are they're allowed to fly then?
I'm sure they are.
I think so. I heard someone in the Target line last week say they were going to be in the air when it was happening.
They can fly in.
So do the pilots have to put on special goggles?
Probably.
What'd you say, Devin?
They can fly in like hurricanes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hurricanes don't take your eyesight.
I know, but like they can fly in the dark. Maybe they can just
close their
eyes.
Are you actually going to go blind like that?
You could injure your retinas.
I'm looking it up.
You could injure your retinas. So it could cause partial blindness.
That's why we have the special goggles.
But that's to stare at the sun, which you can't normally do anyway.
Do you want
to
test it?
So it's like it's about like not staring at the sun in general. Like no one stares at the sun during like normal times. And so then therefore, because you want to stare at the sun, you have to wear special goggles. I don't think it has anything to do with the solar eclipse. I think it has to do with staring at the sun.
We got our goggles last weekend, and on Easter, my brother and I tested them. So we put them on and stared at the sun and then took our things off. And you know how bright that is? Because I tried to look at it. You can't.
No.
Mm-mm.
So
maybe it is true. I don't know. Maybe everyone just assumes because you don't wear the goggles like every day when you're on the sun.
Yeah,
fancy glasses.
I'm sure people will stare.
It just says that it's safe to fly during the eclipse.
Okay, well,
I'm not getting
any.
If
you're traveling, don't worry.
Safe travels.
Yep. Just don't stare at the sun, per usual, or do.
It's just gonna be dark. I mean, it's not like
people are gonna do what they want.
I feel like when you're
people are having parties and stuff, guys. Mm-hmm. Like literally, like
hotel rooms booked.
But like, whatchamacallit over there off of Connor Prairie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whole party.
Allisonville.
Like, all these places are having actual parties for the solar eclipse.
Yeah. Can we close the clinic
also,
and have
a party?
We're closed for an hour.
Yeah. If you think about it, the total solar eclipse is at like 3 in the afternoon. So it's going to be like right above you.
Yeah.
Kind of. And when you're flying a plane, like.
Oh, yeah. You're not quite.
The plane's
like,
below the sun.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You're still on the plane.
Devin's
thing.
Still worried on the plane.
The 2:30 to 3:30, the best time when it's like fully happening. Is that why we chose that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It says it's like the total solar eclipse from 3:01 to 3:08 or something like that.
Okay.
That's so cool.
So there's a very
All
short
Stars
window.
Closed 2:30 to 3:30. So
don't
call.
And then everyone's going to be rushing in with whatever happens after the solar eclipse.
We'll be too busy staring at the sun.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess we should. I'm Dr. King.
Oh, I'm Courtney Allen.
Devin Fortune.
Ashlyn Duckwall.
And we are here to provide
you. And we are the Veterinary Roundtable.
And we are here to provide you with entertaining information.
Woo-hoo. Yep.
Okay. Does anybody want to discuss about Devin? You're kind of like been the go-to person to talk about all things new and what we're doing.
Are
and
we
just,
still doing
yeah,
that?
Yeah, do it again.
Do it
again.
For the
okay. Again.
Okay. Going forward, you will be seeing us weekly with guest episodes once a month. And if you haven't already, come look at us because we are looking like
fire.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
Fire.
Tomatoes.
Fire. Tomatoes, red peppers.
Yep.
Cherries.
Red hot
Speaking
chili peppers.
Speaking of fire, on Saturday, it was 70 out. I sat outside and my face got a little sunburnt.
That's
for the
so
first
nice.
Time in forever.
Sunscreen.
I was like, did you see me on sunscreen?
Did you see me on Monday at work?
Yeah.
I was burnt. I have a farmer's tan line. Yes, from Easter because I was outside all day and I got burnt, like it hurt.
Yeah,
and it's like it was amazing.
This is the time when you really fry your skin because you're not used to it.
Yeah, that's
but
okay.
You're like
you need that vitamin D.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
Serotonin. Seasonal depression was over on Sunday. It's back.
it's back.
Because it's
and now it's
Indiana
snowing
weather.
Today. Now it's 70 on Sunday.
Come on,
snowing
Indiana, and
Thursday.
See the solar
that's
eclipse.
That's what I was gonna say. Come here and see the solar eclipse in your winter jacket.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, let's start icebreakers. This is new. I wasn't here last week, so I don't know what's happening here.
Okay, well, go ahead and read the question or the statement.
No, you got it. You do it.
Okay. Hi, my name is Alina.
I would say Alina.
Alina. I'm a veterinarian from Russia, which is super cool.
Super cool.
I was wondering what books on dog and cat psychology you consider the best. At gastrology.vet.
Gastrology.
Gastrology.
You're thinking too hard.
I do. I always make words hard. I'm just not good with words.
Me neither.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You got a question.
The Russia thing blew my freaking mind. That is so cool.
That's like the other side of the world.
Because I just feel like 10 people watch us or listen to us. Yeah. So like the fact that like Russia.
My mom's one of them.
Well, a mom, and a mom, and a husband.
Yeah.
There's five.
That's all I think.
That's all of the 10 people. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So this is pretty cool on lots of levels. So
yes.
The fact that she's from Russia,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very interesting question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not something I think about.
Well, yes, I bet you could think about it because Devin and I talked briefly about it the other day.
I talked about it.
It was you and I? Mm-hmm. Okay. You and I.
Did we have this conversation?
Because we were like, okay, there are some books out there mm-hmm. on, because I'm thinking like psychology, I'm thinking behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So like now you can probably think of some really good texts that talk about animal psychology. How they think, right? I mean, what's the definition of psychology? Does anybody know off the top of your head?
You know, I mastered my AP Psych exam, but I can't give you the definition of that.
Of psychology?
Mm-hmm. Probably the way the brain works.
How that people make decisions. I don't know.
Shall I look
it up? You need to look it up. Okay.
I thought you knew it.
No, I don't know it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Like you were coming in hot.
No, I was just like, does anybody know the definition of psychology? Because maybe we don't address the problem correctly.
Okay, it says, dun, dun, dun. I just clicked on the wrong thing. The scientific study of the human mind and its functions, especially those affecting behavior in a given context.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. So behavior.
So behavior and how maybe they think, how they process information. Okay. So
I guess Sophia Yin, but that's training.
That's what we said.
Yeah.
Good job. Okay. Yeah.
I also, this is more for training, but Zach George has Dog Training Revolution. So that's training.
I also said great. Sophia Yin and then Karen Pryor because one book that she has, which Getting Started with Clicker Training, I believe is the name of that book. In the very beginning, she talks about how dogs and other animals think, mm-hmm. like and how they process information. And so she does that just so she can explain why clicker training is so advantageous for that particular species or whatever. So I think that is kind of along these lines.
Mm-hmm. The best cat one I recommend all the time is Decoding Your Cat by mm-hmm. the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists.
Mm-hmm.
That I've actually read it and it goes through the behavior.
I want to give that a read.
The psychology is it's really good.
And then the other one is, it's called Feline Behavior and Medicine. Feline Medicine and Behavior. It looks like the color like plum. It's, you know,
I don't know.
It's really good. And it talks about cats and their behavior and why they do what they do.
Yeah.
And then the other source would be.
Well, Vin, we read that whole article series on cat behavior.
On cat behavior. Yeah. And Ohio State has all that information.
Oh, yeah. The Indoor Pet Initiative.
Yeah. Has all that information about behavior.
Yep.
I printed off a sheet of top rated books.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Excellent. Let's hear it.
I did my research.
What you got?
The most pop. Okay. So this is from 2022.
Okay.
But the most popular author that came up, his or her name, I'm not sure, is Zazie Todd.
Huh.
PhD.
Okay.
There's one that's called WAG, The Science of Making Your Dog Happy. And the cat one is called PURR, The Science of Making Your Cat Happy. And then there's ones, here, one moment, there's multiple pages. then there's The Cautious Canine, How Do You Help Your Dogs Conquer Their Fears?
Sounds so cute.
That's really cute.
From
you sit
fear,
them on a couch.
Oh, that one's
like,
by.
Their paw.
Yeah. And how
about
them
your
talk
day.
About their feelings?
Yes.
And then there's another one called, or that one's by Patricia McConnell. And these ones look like you could all purchase them online. And then there's from Fearful.
Do you think in Russia they have Amazon?
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing when
Amazon's
I printed
taking
this.
Over the world. There's no
you
way.
Think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fact check. Okay.
Please respond back and let us know if you have Amazon.
Sure. But anyway, if you just type in on Google best psychology books, this list is the first thing that pops up. I thought it was cool. And I'm interested and kind of want to read some of them.
There's another book called Good Dog, Bad Dog. Like, that's another, like, easy information book that's good for owners. Right. Like, you can pull stuff out of it and give it to owners.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the College of Veterinary Behavior has a dog one now.
Well, Landsberg, isn't that that guy's name, Landsberg, that wrote the big, that blue book that is, you guys hardly ever used books when you came out of school, but the it's a big blue book that's about behavior, feline. You don't know what you're talking about.
Going off of,
I think the author's name is Landsberg. Going He's off on of Vin, your, he does stuff.
Oh, okay. Decoding Your Cat. They have a Decoding Your Dog.
Yeah.
And the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists made that one too.
Wow. Nice. I'm going to recommend that.
There you go.
Because the cat one's so good.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, but there's a dog one too. I want to read Purr. Yeah, these are pretty good. Hmm. But yeah, Zazie Todd seems to be the...
The guru.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Okay. That is fascinating. There we go. More I did than, my homework.
I mean, I learned... This is good because now when people ask, you've got even more resources.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So great question. Great,
thanks for the question.
Now you have to say the disclaimer.
If any listener has any other icebreaker questions they want us to pick apart, DM the All-Star Veterinary Clinic social media accounts or email harrison@kingmediamarketing.com.
Wow.
So we would love your lists, your icebreakers. They're fun.
Yes, please keep them coming.
Breaking news! Breaking news!
Iceberg ahead!
Oh my god!
Iceberg ahead!
Too soon, Courtney. Too soon.
Sorry. Caught me by surprise.
Breaking news. Did the breaking news catch you by surprise?
It caught me by surprise, actually.
Because my watch didn't ding. Yeah.
Oh no!
She just remembered.
Have it.
Oh, she got the earpiece going. She's
got the earpiece.
Got it. Nobody else can see it, but she has it. It's in her glasses.
It's congestion. Okay. Today's viewing is sponsored by DayQuil. Just for me. Just kidding, DayQuil. Don't get mad. Okay.
But you can sponsor
or be
us.
Be happy and sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually true. Great.
Or a Band-Aid.
So this is a response to last week, I guess. So
yes,
because we
were,
so I don't
you
know if
here,
I should
so.
Be reading this.
No,
but
go
I'll,
for it. You
I'll
can read it.
So thanks for mentioning my question on the podcast. To follow up, I've always been told that when pushing cefazolin.
Huh. Cefazolin.
He even told us how to pronounce it.
He even spelled it right down at the bottom, like so we could.
Yeah. Like us with potato, with the dashes and everything.
Potato,
the enunciation of it. Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
I was always taught in school, cefazolin.
You said cefazolin last week.
I know, but that's because I thought other people, that's how it's supposed to be said.
Like anyway,
smart people say cefazolin.
Okay, we've been told to stop interrupting each other.
I'm sorry.
Remember?
Did I not say cefazolin?
You did. I don't know what you said.
It doesn't matter. Keep going.
Okay. If you push too fast, it can cause the patient to vomit, which we obviously do not want, especially because we frequently use it during surgery. On the case I saw, the doctor had no luck in prior cases with any of the other methods and asked us to push cefazolin quickly and then boom, vomit. Usually the dose I see is 22 mg per kg. P.S. It's cefazolin. Any other way is just wrong. LOL. LOL, period. So he means business.
He means business.
That's from freddystory.vet.
I love the engagement.
I'm allowed to say that, right?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Was he anonymous? Oops.
No, he gave his name last time, so it was fine. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Whoa.
I want to try it. Would you guys be interested in trying it? Or?
What?
Well.
Cefazolin?
Yeah, to induce vomiting in a cat.
Yeah, because like what harm will it do?
That's what I'm thinking is that the only thing I can think of is I suppose you weigh your pros and cons, right? Like,
yeah,
the pro of giving an antibiotic, we know how fast it selects for resistance and when you don't need it with the animal ate something that's going to kill it. So like, do you really care? So you go ahead and give the cefazolin.
Also, is that the only adverse reaction that happens? I thought there was blood pressure you have to worry about too.
I don't know.
Or maybe that's pantoprazole or something. I'm not sure. But
yeah.
I mean, there's various ones we give slowly for reasons, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you need to make them vomit.
Yeah.
If you have other options, though, probably exhaust those other options first. Like, maybe.
Yeah.
Spinning them in the chair.
Yeah, but even hydro, I mean, you're giving it and you're making them vomit. Like, I mean, there's still like side effects associated with the hydro.
Yeah.
So either way, I suppose you're going to have side effects.
We don't really do the hydro for cats, though. To make them vomit,
we give
Dex.
Dome.
Sorry, Dex.
And yeah. I was like,
yeah, confused. No, my brain was mixed up. Yeah, Dex. I'm sitting here watching, thinking in my head, watching a cat vomit. Yeah, Dex.
Yeah,
But I mean, because I'm thinking sedation.
But the Dex will make them, yeah, sedated.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I think push
I think we should
stuff,
try it.
Do it.
Who I has a cat that
we should
can
come
feed
up
something?
With a new medication.
Oh, okay. We don't cats. Need to induce the issue.
I am not torturing my cats. And they will already come in hissing and growling and trying
be
to
be unhappy.
Her cats
yeah,
are
you
not.
Can't get an IV.
Okay, watch it. Walter is not nice.
All my cats are eating when they come to the veterinarian, too. Okay, I am so ready for this Bond cat
we
stuff to come
his
out.
Happy,
because
his happy dose
I like Walter,
last
but
time.
Him tried to kill me last time.
Him hit me. His magic.
We are going to use the Bond cat stuff out the wazoo when it comes out.
I'll be honest. I'm one of those owners that I really try not to bring my cats to the vet unless it's a quick trip because it stresses me out. And maybe that's just because I've seen all the cats get super stressed.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I don't want it to happen to my cats. They've been okay. Just
yeah.
I'll definitely give Bond cat a try when we have it, though.
Yep. I think it's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We get to send one of the clinic cats. Oh my gosh.
That's
they
true.
Need that.
You don't want to be a clinic cat.
We take really good care of them.
We take very good care of them, but you can use them for practice.
Did
what
you
were
you
talking about before that?
Cefazolin.
Oh, yes.
See, look at that.
Cefazolin. What product in our clinic? Like, do we have straight cefazolin injectable?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Because we use it in surgery.
I didn't know if it's like convenia.
Well,
with
convenia,
we have cefazolin. They're both cephalosporins.
Okay.
Yeah. So one's a first generation cephalosporin and one's a third generation cephalosporin.
Mm-hmm. I've just never seen like
pull
straight
that out of the cat.
Because I'm old.
Wow.
Because we only had first generation cephalosporins when I started.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Nice.
You're not old. You're wise.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So welcome. Wise.
So wise.
All right. Pets and peaks.
Pete and peaks.
Pits and peaks.
Pits and peaks.
Pets and peaks.
I know. I just misspoke.
Ooh, pets and peaks could be. Ooh. It could be like a little shop where you pet animals and then your peak could be a little sweet treat.
This is a great business idea. It's kind
of
cute. It's,
there's
it's,
a new coffee
ringing.
Place off of 38 and. Little Chicago. Hazeldale, Little Chicago.
Where?
Is it named Pets and Peaks?
No. I just saw it today. I drove by it twice.
Oh, I drive by there every day. Now. How did I not know? 38 and Hazeldale?
There's a huge flag that says coffee.
Oh,
you
is
don't
it the
say.
Big White House?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been there for a while. It's called something. Harrison, what's the name of that
is
place?
Is it the old dentist office?
No.
No, not Noble
Coffee. Noble
Coffee's it's,
downtown.
It's the one. It's.
I
the...
thought it was in a garage now. There's another building on the property, and
what?
It's like a garage.
I was thinking.
Yeah,
these are,
it's really cool.
I don't know
cool.
where they're
it's,
talking
you can
about.
Go in
I don't
there
know
and they
where they're talking about.
And
I don't know.
And it's like a home goods, like kind of place.
Almost Chicago. Little Chicago turns into Hazeldale.
All right. What's your pits and peaks for the week?
Yep.
I'm going last.
Okay.
I'll go.
Okay, go for it.
I have two pits. Peaks.
Okay.
My first peak was this week with my birthday.
That is a very good peak.
It was a really gross day outside, but it was a good day. And then my other peak is so I'm not very comfortable with them, nor do I do them often, but I did a standing cysto on an 80-pound dog today.
Nice.
And it was a male.
Nice.
So then the penis is in the way, and I did it.
Nice.
And I got it first try because
don't let that penis was, stop you.
No. but yeah, it was just
she's still clapping.
Yeah. But
God.
it was very rewarding because it was an emergency and we didn't want to it was a mess. But anyway. Yeah.
Nice.
That made me feel
nice
really
work.
Good.
Well done. Well done. Well done.
My pit was my personal dog. My own dog is having some behavior issues and it's really irritating and frustrating.
It's really hard to practice veterinary medicine at home.
Yep.
And it's just, it's infuriating.
Yeah.
Because I did all the work and I socialized him as a puppy and it's just like I didn't do anything. But
stay
we'll get over it.
Stay after it. Stay after
it. It'll be okay. It's just very frustrating. But
he's still
fine.
Young.
Yeah.
He's like a teenager right now. He thinks
that's
teenager
story.
Story. He's just in this rebellious phase.
Mm-hmm. He's got a penis.
he has penises. They are
he
always
knows
in
how
the
to
way.
Use it.
I'm just kidding. Okay.
Episode.
My peak is I'm going on spring break on Saturday.
Where are you
can
going?
Aruba.
Yeah, it'll be
with
better night.
Who? Which child?
All of them except
of
Harrison
them?
And Madeline.
Wow.
I'll go in his place.
Wear some sunscreen.
Yep. Sunscreen and a cabana and
nice.
That's so exciting.
It's a pina colata.
So because it's Johnny's senior year, so we're going and with like five other families. So we're really looking forward to
that. Oh, that's really fun. Those are fun trips.
Yeah, it should be a good time. Should be a good time.
Friends. Do you know how the solar eclipse is going to be in Aruba?
It will not be present.
At all?
No.
Hmm.
It's not in the past.
Fascinating.
So you guys have to take pictures.
We will take pictures.
Are we allowed to take videos or is that like bad for your eyes?
You just can be like.
What if you want to rewatch it? Do you have to wear goggles every time you watch a video?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I remember when I was in middle school.
There's pictures of the sun on Google.
Does it hurt your eyes when you look at them?
Did you have to look at it? Could you look at it afterwards and not worry and it didn't hurt your eyes?
She could Google the sun.
I used the goggles and then I also didn't use the goggles and I was fine.
Yeah. So
I mean, it was for a split second. But
we're doing it again. We're talking over each other.
My pit. I don't know if I have a pit. It's been a good week.
King, you didn't have a pit last week either.
I'm just kind of like pitless.
That's good though.
Yeah.
Like anything that you're like, meh, like a bummer.
Anything that's a bummer.
I can give you one. Your life's just perfect.
No, it's not that it's a perfect.
Your life's just perfect.
I have a hard time finding pits.
Yeah, she finds the good in law.
I'm just
I wish I could do that.
You can, it's a choice. Okay. Wake up every day loving life.
You know what?
I mean, I love life, but I still have pits.
Well, the pit is
it better be good.
It's not anything good. Right. No, I was thinking like of the whole thing that we're managing with Dr. Dudley and I with the people who submitted the.
Oh, are you allowed to talk about
what?
The thing, the complaint.
Hmm.
Yeah. Talk about that.
Are you?
I don't know. Complaint? Why not?
I don't know.
I feel like just this is really for the higher curious. Ups because Courtney and I don't know.
So, yeah. So that's probably the pit.
There's a complaint being filed.
But I'm not sure why. But that's for them to figure out. So just working our way through that.
More details to come.
More details to come. Behind the cameras.
In 26, however many, how old I am, I've never had to do that.
Fascinating.
That's because you built a freaking awesome clinic.
Oh, thanks.
That's when your lawyer husband comes into play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, he's not in charge of that.
Oh.
So there you go.
I guess he used to be, but not anymore.
My other peak, though, is the two associate veterinarians at the clinic learning their TPLOs.
Oh, yeah.
They've done multiple cadaver dogs now, and they're getting ready to do their first procedure on Monday.
Woo! On Eclipse Day.
Monday's a big day. Yeah. You better hope they're not still in their surgery when.
So they shouldn't be.
Yeah. They shouldn't be. They timed it yesterday.
Yep. They should be great.
For this.
And I'm super excited for them. So yeah. That's my other one.
That's okay. Really cool.
Yeah.
Long time coming.
Does it hurt your eyes?
Oh, I'm blind. Ouch. See, my eyes.
So if you take a video of it, it's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Devin. No, you wanted to go last.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, Duckwall.
I think I mentioned my pit yesterday and I was like, I'm going to talk about it on the podcast because I'm bitter. So we talked through it yesterday too. But anyways.
And your feelings are valid.
Yes. The last couple weeks, I've had a couple clients where I feel like I just really have gone gung-ho for them throughout their pets' lives, and like I felt like I have a good relationship, and then sometimes they just are like, I'd prefer to have so-and-so's opinion, like another doctor's opinion, or they prefer another doctor instead, and so it just like gets to you after a while because you know, the bitter side of me is like, why do I even go?
Why do I bother?
Why do I bother? Why do I go?
Why do I invest emotionally into it?
Yeah.
Right.
Because you get so emotionally exhausted and compassion fatigue anyway. So then you have those ones that you go the extra mile and then you're like, well, shoot, what's the point? And then, of course, your feelings get hurt because you're human. And then you start to question. I always do. What did I do wrong?
Right, what could I have done differently?
What's my problem? Yep. And so, I just been thinking about that, and it wasn't just one scenario. I tried to just say okay, whatever, but then when it's a couple back to back close together, it's kind of like,
what the heck.
I just want to be like,
hello,
I don't care. I don't care. So anyway, so if anyone's ever felt like that, it's normal.
We get you.
We get you. It's
real.
It's human.
And it's a real feeling.
People need
to
hear that.
It's valid. It's something that happens.
Yeah.
Especially just because of the nature of the job.
Yep. Yeah. And it's not always about you, but even if it was about you, you just learn from it. Mm-hmm. But still, I'm bitter.
Still, I'm bitter.
I'll be bitter for a little bit. And then my peak, I think, is... I don't know.
Saturday,
my having my baby's number one.
There you go.
First.
My number one.
First birthday party. We had to postpone it because she was sick last week. Hence DayQuil and
congestion.
What?
Congestion? You said congestion.
No, since DayQuil is sponsoring me today.
Oh, I thought you were thinking of another word.
No, she shared it within the household.
Yep.
She's very caring.
Yeah.
She's and very sharing so that way. Of her.
Not next week, but the week after. I'm going on vacation. Woo! Woo!
Okay, so there you go. Some peace.
I'm going to go on vacation.
I like it. I like it.
And maybe too. In October.
That's okay.
Yeah. You're going somewhere. Where are you going in June?
I'm going to Kentucky for my mom's yoga.
That's not a vacation. I mean, it is.
Kentucky.
I love Kentucky.
No, it's not relaxing.
I love
to work. It's a yoga retreat.
It's a boo-boo.
I'm not doing yoga. I'm going there to be the chef and the cleaning crew.
The chef?
Yes. My dad and I cook and we clean. That's why my mom takes us. She called me boo-boo. It's not a relaxing vacation. I'm about to do any yoga. Granted, I'm not a fan of yoga, which is dumb, but
your mom's going to hear that.
She knows that.
Okay.
I've told her that.
Okay, Devin, you're up.
Okay. I'll share my peak first. I'm going to Morgan Wallen tomorrow with my mom and sister.
Whoa. My sister's going tonight.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Fun.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, you do.
And then tomorrow I have my first day off of, like, first requested day off of work since September. And I'm just really excited to have the day off because I need it.
Yeah.
Especially after this week. So that kind of leads into my pit, which also moves into my case.
Ooh.
That's why
I like it. Okay, that's why you wanted to go last. I like it. Okay. That's good transition. Nice work.
It is very good.
So my pit is this week we had two of our kind of regular, actually pretty regular patients pass away. And we are really close to both of their owners, I feel. excuse me. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
I don't know why it's in me so much.
See, we care.
We can wait. Do you want to wait? Do you want somebody else to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Are we doing cases now?
Do cases.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. Cases.
Okay.
Get
cases.
I'll go.
Okay, you go.
My case is another update on Mr. Teddy. Everybody loves Teddy.
Recap Teddy.
Yes, he's what?
Recap. Who's Teddy?
Oh, yeah, I was getting here.
Oh, sorry.
He is our 10-year-old golden retriever. Wow, he is not that old. I'm so sorry. He is 7.
He's only 7?
Yes.
No, really?
Nobody think he's older than
he's
6 in a few months, but he's 7. Anyway, he came in for the first time since his last chemo treatment yesterday for just a general overall recheck, kind of feeling his lymph nodes, see how he's doing, things like that. He is doing really, really well. He's eating great, no vomiting. He's acting like his normal self, going on walks, playing with his housemate, just happy-go-lucky guy. And I think two of his, he had a popliteal and then a submandibular.
Yeah.
Okay. Lymph node that was slightly enlarged, but I don't think it's enlarged enough or he's doing poorly enough to enforce a rescue treatment on him. So all in all, he's doing pretty good.
Yep.
And it's very exciting. And everybody got to see him yesterday. He went on his normal walk through the clinic, which was really fun. So
they said they bake his kibble in like chicken broth or bacon grease.
Yeah.
It's just the cutest thing.
Yeah.
You can just imagine. And they're like, yeah, so sure their other dog is
smelling
getting,
it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah.
Their other dog's getting super fat. Who also has autoimmune disease. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they were just prominent is how I would phrase it. And I was able to measure them. So, reaching out to the oncologist that helped with his protocol just to make sure that there's no rescue therapy. I'm assuming I wouldn't have to since he's doing well clinically. Is that correct? Have you ever had to do rescue therapy?
I mean, they probably will. They'll probably let him ride out, I would think, until you feel like you've got like multiple lymph nodes that are big again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, or it was barely noticeable.
If the patient's doing poorly, that would be another factor, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he was so happy to see us.
Yeah.
He was like chattering and he was really happy.
Yeah. Carrying his leash around. Mm-hmm. And yeah. He's a really good dog.
He's cool.
We all were so excited to see him.
Yeah.
It was very exciting to see him. Miss
Mike,
him.
Mike,
I'll
go.
I think I'm just going to push
you
through
want
it.
Tissue?
No, it's okay. So we have talked about Murphy on here before.
Yeah.
He is like a 250-pound Great Dane that had some weird swelling of his paw. We ended up referring him to a facility for a CT, to have a CT done. And I guess the day of the CT, he was having a hard time, so they didn't start his procedure until a little bit later in the day. And then they did the procedure. He had a really hard time waking up, so they decided to keep him overnight for observation. And then went home the next day, and mom said it took him like 6 times to even get in the car. And then ever since then, he was just super lethargic, not really eating, really drooly. He didn't throw up or have any diarrhea, but he was just drooling puddles. And so that was a week ago. And then the following Monday, she called telling me all that information. And we recommended bringing him back to the specialty facility, just since they had just seen him. So she brought him back there, and he got diagnosed with aspiration pneumonia, and recommended hospitalization with oxygen supplementation, which the owner decided to not do just due to finances, because he's a very large dog and it was very expensive. So they brought home medications, and we're just going to try to treat him at home. And then I came into work the next day, and she let us know that he passed away at home.
Yes.
From his pneumonia, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. When I called and talked to her, it was just like, I think it was difficult because there was a little hope, because they, like, his oxygen level, she had said at the, in the facility, was 94. So it's not ideal, but I think there was some optimism there that we could, they could still maybe try the outpatient care, especially since that was their only option at the time. But then he just declined pretty rapidly overnight, which I guess it happened very quickly. Yeah. Right. So
it says his temperature was 106.9.
Whoa.
I didn't know that. And a fever is 103.
Wow. I did not know that information.
Yeah, I have his report. When he admitted for not doing well, he was 106.9.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
I'm glad he was with his family, though. Yeah. He didn't pass it. Like, if they decided to hospitalize him, I'm glad he didn't pass there. I'm glad he was with his family. Yeah.
That's what we talked about. If he was that sick, like,
yeah,
that could have very well happened.
Oh, easily.
At the hospital, for sure.
There's only so much we can do.
We never actually got the CT report back, so I'm curious.
I know. I haven't gotten anything.
I looked for it, but I couldn't find anything.
So that swollen paw, who knows what that.
Because I feel like ever since then, after the procedure, she actually also reported that his paw was getting significantly worse, and it was turning like yellow.
Yeah.
So maybe he had something
very
bigger.
Large.
He could have had a tumor somewhere.
He's a big dog.
Yeah.
So like that was enough for the 3 days that I worked this week. And then the next day we had.
Well, my case, actually. Yeah. So
perfect.
Look at that.
Segues. Last episode or 2 episodes ago, I discussed this patient that had a lot of issues. So recapping, liver issues, heart issues, seizures, and then incidentally came in for just a bald skin spot and ended up having 8,000 platelets. So we just started the treatment essentially for a suspected immune mediated thrombocytopenia, so ITP. But as we started to follow along, it was so weird and interesting. Like, we rechecked his CBCs between 5 to 7 days multiple times. His platelets were responding to the treatment. So that tells me that that category, we're on the money, so to speak, of what we thought was going on. But he kept becoming anemic. Like, he was already anemic from the start, but it kept getting worse. And so the anemia pattern was regenerative. So I was concerned that he was bleeding somewhere or the red blood cells were being destroyed. But Dr. King actually worked hand in hand with me, and we looked everywhere if there was blood anywhere. So chest x-rays, fast scans, a full abdominal ultrasound. We had done a chemistry at the beginning, and it didn't coincide with destruction. So this last recheck, so we changed the protocol as we went through. Like, we tried to cover for a potential GI bleed, even though there was no blood in his poop or his vomit. And he was doing okay. Like, his platelets at the second to last check were durable. 334,000. I was like, oh, that's great. At least we know, like, he's not going to spontaneously start to bleed. Well, this last time yesterday, we rechecked, and it wasn't a clean stick, but his platelets were still really low, even if it wasn't a clean stick. And the reason why you worry, or if it's not a clean stick, you worry about clumping or
an inadequate platelet value. Well, his were low again at 71,000, but then now his anemia was worse. His hematocrit went down to 14%, and then he was no longer regenerating. So his body is no longer responding to the low blood cells. And he looked not good.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like he was struggling. He was very pale. So anyway, talked to the owner, unfortunately, about his lack of response and worrying that the autoimmune disease is at the level of the bone marrow. I had talked to an internist just the Friday before, so 3 days before, and she said it could still be a GI bleed. You just don't visibly see any blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, what is his bone marrow doing? And so, yeah, just honestly kind of set it was straightforward. I was like, unfortunately, we have to consider his quality of life. He's not responding, or we have to refer for deeper diagnostics that we literally just can't. We're at our wit's end here. Mm-hmm. We can't do anything else. And that would include a blood transfusion as well.
Right.
And so we talked about it. Also consulted with his neurologist that she really trusts too. And even though that's not his field, at least it's another brain that, you know, I talked to him about the case and he was worried about the bone marrow. And so ultimately, unfortunately, she decided for humane euthanasia, which truly was the best decision mm-hmm. for him. Not just because he has a whole bunch of things going on, but he really, he wasn't doing well.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
It was a tough case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had me thinking like, what did I do wrong? Right. What's going on? But it would have been a lot of commitment financially and just, I don't know, diagnostics.
Stuff for him to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. To try to figure it out if there was something to even be fixed.
Right. So. You could do all those tests and then you may still not be able to fix him.
Yep. Right. Yeah, we have a saying that's just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, so yes. That's always something Agreed. To be mindful of. My case is I want to say he's like 8, 9, 10, something like that. It's a Dr. Faust patient that came in as a new patient on Tuesday. And the owner called in to the surgery department and wanted to schedule cherry eye surgery. And so the surgery technician said, sure, we can schedule a cherry eye surgery. He needed it done by a certain date. And so we were like, yeah, we can get him in on Wednesday. But before you come in, we need to have a veterinarian see you because we have learned the lesson that it's not always what we think it mm-hmm. is. It's not always what the clients think it is. Mm-hmm. And so this is a perfect example of that where, you know, you listen to clients and you should take what they say, you know, and listen to it and rely on it, but also they also don't know a lot of times what they're talking about mm-hmm. or they'll lead you down the wrong path, you know, so you'll be thinking it's vomiting and it's regurgitation, or you're thinking it's cherry eye and it's something else. So this was in fact one of those cases where it came in, the patient, he came in to see Dr. Faust, and Dr. Faust looked at the eye and was like, that's not a cherry eye mm-hmm. because it was a large mass associated with the third eyelid. And so it looks like a cherry eye, like from the standpoint of like if you were looking at a picture, maybe in a book.
Yes.
But even then, it's way too big because it wasn't scrolled out. So like a cherry eye, for all those people out there that don't know, is a prolapse of the third eyelid gland. So there's a gland that sits in the third underneath the third eyelid that provides tear production. And sometimes it will prolapse. And so it rolls out and it looks like this cherry just sitting inside, you know, inside the I guess the eyelid, kind of sort of in the third eyelid. So you can surgically tuck those back into place. We should never be removing them because then we have issues with tear production. Unless you had a tumor, mm-hmm. then you could, in theory, remove the third eyelid gland and then just medicate the dog for the rest of its life if you wanted to try and save the third eyelid gland. But anyway, so this dog came in then on Wednesday and Dr. Cloud did a enucleation, but did it involving like sewed the eyelid shut and then took it because we were concerned about a mass. So then took all the tissue around the globe itself and the globe mm-hmm. and removed it. And then we'll submit it for pathology. And then
it was insane.
Yeah, it was big.
I couldn't tell where the eye was. Yeah. Like when you looked at him, you couldn't see the eye.
So was it coming out of the eye?
Well, no, it was part of the third eyelid for sure.
Oh,
but like when you retropulse the globe, which makes the third eyelid come up.
Yeah.
It, it was up already. Like it didn't move at all because it was so large. And like he couldn't open his eye anymore.
His eye was like
to be able to see his eye. It was huge.
Yes. Oh, wow. Compared, because I didn't like get an up close look at him, but I looked at him through the run yesterday morning and I was just standing there and I was like, where is his eye? Because his third eyelid was like all the way up. Well, with the mass and whatnot. But like his eye was like up here. Pretty much like that's what it looked like. It was so pushed up by them because like the mass was like his whole, like it looked like his eyeball and then but his eye was up here.
Oh my god!
Like it was getting pushed, right?
Yeah.
It was so insane looking.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we enucleated his eye. Dr. Cloud enucleated his eye and that should hopefully solve the problem.
Yeah. Good. So now he does his permanently winking.
Yep. Exactly.
I just had a puppy come up with one eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do well.
So cute.
They do. Mm-hmm. They actually do. They don't seem to mind.
Nope. Nope.
They accommodate very well. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that's my case.
That's a good one.
All right.
Okay. Listener questions. Do you ladies deal with any drama between staff members? How do you deal with it? At @A_
McKayhill.
McKayhill 44.
I was going to say MCC Ahill.
McKayhill. I like the question.
Yes.
And no matter where
I have a good story.
Oh, you do?
The heads will roll story.
The heads will roll?
Yes. Okay. So when I first started back in 2019.
Back in my day.
I was just a young little spry out of school, scared of everything. And I had started at All Star. So to answer your question,
there always is going to be.
There's drama. Yeah, absolutely.
It's inevitable. Especially because it's all human. It's a women ruled for the most part field.
Yep.
Yes. Too.
You do what you can, right?
Yes. There's a lot of estrogen.
And at the time there were just some issues with the culture. I'm not really privy to the details just because I had just come in and stuff. But I remember one day after work, Miss Dr. King over there gathered all the technicians.
She's got it.
Oh, this. And basically was frustrated because there had been drama. And all I heard from our office was,
this is news to me. I was not here.
This was intense. Heads will roll.
I was in intermediate school. Said,
if people don't get their ish together, heads will roll.
It wasn't. That was intense. I don't think I've been scared of many people in that moment. I was scared of you.
Well, I never.
I wasn't scared, but I was like.
And it's funny because if you knew Dr. King, it's just not something you see ever. Unless she's just at her wit's end, right?
And she was.
Rightfully so.
Very at her. I remember that day very vividly.
I'm scared.
Yeah. I never am mad. So I'm sure when I got mad,
it
was
probably
like,
I was like,
but I just remember sitting there like, holy shit.
That's how I felt. That's how I felt in turn.
My head will roll.
And my head
Oh, no. It was a very intense conversation, which it needed to happen.
And guess what? It weeded out people that were not good for the culture.
It sure did.
And that's, I think... Then to that point, yes, we have drama, but we also have a very strict policy of no gossiping. You figure your ish out between the two people if you don't, or help with leadership can help you do it. But everyone tries to protect the culture because it's been worked so hard at.
And it's really hard to expect just one person, you know, like so me, for instance, to manage everything in terms of the culture, right? Or the drama. So you really do have to rely on other people to say something if they see something. And it's really important. Like, so, you know, we have a policy of like, you know, grievances should be handed up, not sideways and not handed down. So, you know, if Devin is talking to a room assistant and saying something negative or something that's gossipy and the other person she's talking to doesn't say, that's not something we do here. Then you, even though you may not be agreeing with it, even though you may not be participating, don't think you're participating, you're still condoning the behavior and you're a platform for the behavior. Mm-hmm. So you have to be willing to say, you know what? Sorry, I don't feel comfortable talking about that because we don't talk about that because that's how we protect the culture and we want it to be a good work environment for everybody. And until people are willing to do that, and not everybody's comfortable with that, right? Confrontation is really hard. And that's why I think it's so important to have the core values in everyone's head, because then it's very easy to bring things back. It gives the other employee a thing they can say, like, that's not, you know, our core values are this. So our core value is loving. That's not very loving. So I don't want to talk about that. Or our core value is atmosphere. And by talking about this person, we're not creating a good atmosphere for everyone. Mm-hmm. Are we perfect at it? Absolutely not. I think the important thing is to know that you're constantly working at it, right? Yep. So it has to be, you know, culture is kind of like something that you constantly have to be working on. And when you're not, if you just let it go, then things happen, then it just goes. It just mm-hmm. stuff happens because you have a culture, whether you know it or not,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I think people just have to really say something.
Yep. Yeah.
And all the way down to the high school student.
Yep.
I mean, people have to be willing to say something in order to create an environment in which they want to live in every day.
Mm-hmm. And those people need to be willing to take it too, because it could be so easy if someone, you know, tries to do the right thing by saying something and the other person just starts building this like animosity or bitterness or story in their mind. Yeah.
You don't want to hear it.
Yeah. You have to just kind of accept what the culture is or don't be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, you know, the other thing we set up back then when all of that was going on was people were operating under the wrong assumptions. So we set up a, you know, like basically what I did was talk about everybody needs to operate under the assumption that everyone's doing the best that they can do.
Yes. Yep.
Right. So you're doing the best you can do. You're doing the best you can do to get into that room on time. You're doing the best you can do to clean up after yourself. You're doing the best you can do to, you know, talk to the client as nice as you can and handle their problem as nice as you can. Does that mean that you're perfect at it? No. But when someone comes behind you and sees a mess, they're not thinking they just left the mess because they just want me to clean it up.
And they're just
lazy. They're doing the best they can do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
You know, so it changes, you know, what you're thinking in your head and then your opinion. But the other thing is, it's so easy for our brains to make up stories. And that's how drama happens, right? Because the story happens in a second. Mm-hmm. You walk past Devin in the hallway and she doesn't greet you. The thing in your head can be like, she's mad at me.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to her for the rest of the day.
Oh my gosh, she's mad at me. She didn't say hi.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, there's about 1,000 other things that someone sitting on the sideline could say are the reason why she didn't say hi.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think teaching people to operate with, and again, nobody's perfect at this, but teaching people to operate with the facts instead of their feelings also solves a lot of those problems.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it's so much more than what we could answer in this podcast, but I think being aware of it is the first step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then finding out tools and having a posse of people at work that are interested in
buying
changing.
Into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Is how you can make a difference.
Yep.
I think sometimes people have a hard time because it might be their boss that's actually the one that's contributing to the drama.
Yes.
Or,
mm-hmm. I've heard that's a big thing. Yeah.
You know, or it's, I don't know.
Or
you know,
if there's that one person that just dogs on everybody all the time and they're talking crap about everybody, then that could be hard too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the thing is, if you're not willing as a leader to address it, then now you're the problem, not the person.
Yep.
So I think that's really important, is that if people see you allowing behaviors to occur, and I don't know what this person's position is in their practice, but if you are allowing things to occur, then you become the problem and your staff then really start to regret, you know, and just aren't happy with, they'll start to... I can't think of it. Resent.
Yeah.
Resent what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So.
Yeah.
But it is. Why is our field so.
Because it's stressful.
Stressful. Okay.
Women are
full
emotional.
Full of what? Drama?
Yeah.
And you're emotional about cases and clients and whatever. And so if you don't handle that appropriately, it comes out in the wrong way.
Emotions
and
get high.
Yeah, exactly.
And talking about your feelings is hard. So then you hold it in inside and then you explode.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
That's true.
And then you explode on a coworker, and it's not intended
towards
them.
Or on a podcast.
Or on a podcast.
Well, a little thing I have something to say.
Yes, say, yes.
Part of my pit, I guess, what I never really got to, was this happened on a Tuesday, and you guys obviously don't know this, but Duckwell and Courtney do not work on Tuesdays. So people at the clinic know this patient just because he's so memorable, but we obviously know him the best because he's our patient, but they weren't there for me to like lean on.
Yeah.
Oh. I definitely didn't go through it alone because like people were there and they felt sorry and everything, but like
it's not the same.
I would have liked to have them to lean on, but that's just a little thing.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So
important.
No, that is important. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Because you have your, I mean, we're all, we all at work get along really well and we're all close, but like you we have all your know people all the PJs, that,
but yeah.
And I mean, we're a team.
Yeah.
We're a team with everybody, but we're a team.
Yeah.
You know?
And a team within a team.
Yeah. And that was the second patient and probably the past month that that happened. And our other one was a super regular one as well. Yeah. That happened.
Which one? We've lost a lot.
Who?
Oh.
Yeah.
It's hard when you have so many, you know, you get, because that's part of the job is, it's more than just a job, right? So like one of the things that we talk about is being emotionally invested in the job, you know, and then that, you know, trickles over to then your care, you know, which is also, you know, so it all piles up.
Especially when you talk to the owners, like, every day.
Yeah. But you know, can you imagine doing it any differently?
No.
Right?
No, I mean, love it, but
as hard as it is, it's always worth it because when you go and you're making those decisions and you're sharing information with them, you feel like you're actually in it with them. Like you're actually accomplishing and getting places and going places with them with the care of their pet. And it creates a entirely different experience, not only for the owner, but for you guys as caregivers. And so I think it's way more like at the end of the day, you're able to go, okay, I have a purpose. I meant something. This meant something. And it did. And I, and to your point earlier about the pit, like that's why then it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Because you know the value behind all of that. And so then when it's not, when you don't feel like it's appreciated on the other side, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
So
it's like a one-way relationship.
Yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. So.
But I just always think of too, like places I go or experiences where you can feel like they don't care. Oh my gosh. I'm always like, we would get in so much trouble and I would.
Do you know how many times I think that?
Yeah. Or like you're waiting forever. I'm like, there's no, like I could not work with that philosophy of like not caring or not being accommodating or not responding right away. Like it just, it's such a night and day experience. And granted, we're not ever going to be the clients that come into our clinic the way that, you know, other people are. So we won't be on that side ever, really. But you still can try to put your mind and your shoes in those people's feet. And like, when I go to the doctor, or when I just, it's just mind boggling. Like, how do people get away with this?
I said that the other day because I was on hold for like 30, like, you know, you get on hold with people. And then like, this is a dumb example, but like Taco Bell, Jacob and I went there after, we went there after a brewery on Friday night and we were in line for 45 minutes and ended up leaving. And I was like, if we ever did this at All Star, I'd be fired. Like it's fast food, but you know, I was like,
all job has the same importance, though.
It's still service-based.
Service-based.
I need my food. I need to get my food. I left.
And, you know, the drama is going to affect patient care.
Yeah, that too.
And so, I mean, like, if you can't get people to buy into changing that mentality, I mean, at least you can bring it back to patient care. Like, listen, it's going to affect patient care. You should care because it's going to affect patient care.
True. Yeah. Preach. So,
Word.
Well, great question. Great.
We got off on a little tangent, but that was good discussion
today.
Yeah.
So you guys are gonna be missing Dr. King and I next week, just for the record.
Yes.
So bye bye.
We'll have Doc Paul and
have a good day.
Let's bring the beer. She's going to Aruba.
I'm getting my wisdom teeth out, so pray for me.
That's no fun.
Comment any tips, because I need
comment
tips.
Tips.
Pineapple
tips
juice
for Devin.
Pineapple juice.
There we go.
Really? Well, yes, my brother
Devin,
when
she's all scared.
Hello, Devin.
So see you in 2 weeks for us. But
okay. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable. Remember, send in those questions and leave us a review if you enjoyed this episode or a previous one. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable.
Boop, boop.
Boop, boop.
Deuces.